Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Max McLean, on the place for Christians in the performing arts.
I always encourage Christians who want to get involved in the performing arts. It says, you know, because unfortunately, actors are kind of a dime a dozen. If they don't cast you, they'll cast somebody else. Directors are sort of the same, but really good writers, really good producers, that's where you can really make a difference.
Max McLean, next. Our guest today is well known as a Christian actor, narrator, and playwright, and for his dramatic interpretations of classic Christian literature and the Bible. Join us as Spencer Dahlke talks with Max McLean, founder and artistic director of Fellowship for Performing Arts.
How did you end up with the performing arts?
Yes, well, I got into the theater in college. I was not a believer. I had this challenge with sociophobia. I don't know if you know what that is. It's the fear of being in front of people. I think a lot of people experience this fear. And so I went to the weird part of campus to take an oral interpretation class, and that's when the bug bit. And I've been involved in theatrical production ever since my junior year of college.
What is that?
It's my whole adult working experience. I finished doing theater in college, went to drama school in England. And on the way to England, I had a conversion experience to Jesus Christ. And it was through that experience that I was inspired by the Holy Spirit to find a way to integrate my work with my faith. I was already an actor. I was pursuing theater. And now I had this new dimension in my life. And I thought, how do I bring these two things together? That was the impetus for beginning our ministry, Fellowship for Performing Arts.
And so when did you actually found FPA?
Right after drama school, I got married. The lady that introduced me to Jesus came back to New York. And I started acting. And I found sort of traditional acting career trajectory was really not very fulfilling. The Holy Spirit was talking to me, you cannot serve two masters. So I ultimately decided to give up the theater and got very involved in my local church, a Christian Missionary Alliance church in New Jersey. And it was there the pastor encouraged me to read scriptures for the worship services. I got tremendous affirmation for that, which led to recordings of the Bible. Most people know my voice through the listener's Bible. As a result of that, I started doing one-person productions of the scriptures, beginning with Mark's Gospel and then Acts and then Genesis and Philippians. And so I did that and toured extensively churches and small colleges around the country. And as a result of that, I realized, you know, if I really wanted to make a difference to take these productions to another level, I would need to get some support. And so that was the beginning of the founding of Fellowship for Performing Arts in 1992.
Wow.
So it's been around 33 years.
When you talk about, you know, you did not find the traditional, you know, career path for the actor, presumably talking about Broadway and Hollywood.
Yeah, mostly. In my case, it would have been Broadway, New York theater, regional theaters, and whatever television was in New York, because that's where I was based.
I know a lot of Christians, I think, implicitly understand, like, well, those are probably not like the healthiest places for Christians to be. As someone who's actually had some experience there, can you tell us about what it is about those places that are, should we say, dangerous?
Yeah. Well, I think the reputation is justified that a lot of Christians that come up in strong churches. One of the great things about churches is that you learn to be in front of people. Singing and worship is really important. So using your voice is very normalized. So there's a lot more experience. So, you know, I'm always impressed when I watch shows like American Idol, how many of those people came out of the church, you know, because they sang gospel before they sang anything else. So what happens is, you know, they come up in strong places and they go to a place like New York or L.A. And if they're not rooted in a good church home, nurturing their faith, the pressure to negotiate certain fundamentals away is enormous. And unless you're really grounded, a lot of people do fall away.
I guess that kind of prompts the question then. The performing arts, obviously, it's an art. It's a way that we can glorify God. So what place is there for the Christian in the performing arts?
In the theater, my experience was an actor is in many ways like a musician in the sense that he uses his voice, his body, his mind to illuminate great literature. So a script is set in front of him and his objective is to articulate the ideas, the emotions in that script to an audience. And so that's something we all should be able to do because that's what the body does. But the question becomes, what's written on that script? And what is the worldview of that script? And ultimately, you become a mouthpiece for the worldview. So to me, the great impetus is not necessarily the performing side of it. It is the creative side of it in terms of what's really needed. And that's one of the reasons Fellowship for Performing Arts came into existence is what work are we creating? You're going to have all this talent, but what is it going to go for? What is it going to illuminate? Really, what's needed is writers and producers, the writers, because that's the architecture of what gets produced. And the producer is the one that builds the team and puts it all together so that you can create something. You can bring it from concept to real life. I always encourage Christians who want to get involved in the performing arts. It says, you know, there's unfortunately, actors are kind of a dime a dozen. If they don't cast you, they'll cast somebody else. Directors are sort of the same, but really good writers, really good producers, that's where you can really make a difference.
Writing and producing, meaning producers and writers being the ones setting up the story?
The writers is creating the thing that's being produced. The producer is the decision maker. He's raising all the money. He's developing the whole creative team. He's making it happen. In many ways, somebody like Dallas Jenkins in The Chosen is both the producer and the writer. You know, he's the showrunner and the engine that brings The Chosen forward. Without Dallas Jenkins, you wouldn't have The Chosen. In my small world, I'm kind of doing the same thing with a lot of C.S. Lewis material.
I noticed, you guys at Fellowship for Performing Arts, and I'm sure you direct a lot of this, do a lot of C.S. Lewis material.
Yeah.
Is there a particular reason why you chose C.S. Lewis?
Well, yes. I was converted in my 20s. And after reading the New Testament, somebody gave me a copy of the Screwtape Letters, and I thought, oh my goodness, I know this guy. And before I was a Christian, I was not aware of the schemes of the devil. One of the illuminations of the Holy Spirit is that there's somebody that is after your soul. You know, don't be afraid of the one who killed the body, but be afraid of the one who can kill the soul in hell. It was a real illumination. And so I wouldn't have had an understanding of spiritual warfare in the way I do without the writings of C.S. Lewis. And then, of course, I read Near Christianity, and over the course of years, I've read almost all his works. And he has become, for me, you know, we read the scriptures, and the scriptures are so illuminating. A lot of times you need somebody to help you guide you through the scripture, and Lewis has been a spiritual guide for me.
What was the first work of his that you thought you'd take up?
Well, it was a Screwtape Letter. Somebody had seen some of my other work and made a joke saying, I think you'd make a really good Screwtape. And I didn't know if that was a compliment or not, but it got me moving, thinking about taking a look at Lewis as theatrical literature, because I had never really thought of him in that way. It was much more theological and pastoral. But when you start looking at it, there's a story. There's a lot of stories there. And so the job of bringing something from the page to the stage, you really got to know it, and you've got to know it well. And I just found that the more I got to know, the more I wanted to know. You just never got to the bottom of Lewis. And so one thing led to another. We started with Screwtape, then we did Great Divorce, then The Most Reluctant Convert, then further up, further in, Shadowlands. So we've been living in Lewis land for a long time.
C.S. Lewis seems like a lot of prose. How do you take that and turn it into a stage production?
Well, take, for example, the Screwtape Letters. Lewis was writing about his own battles with temptation. And so he creates this character, this larger-than-life character. The object of Screwtape's attack is somebody called the patient. You know, you and I think of a patient as someone in need of healing. In Screwtape's world, a patient is someone in need of damnation, of corruption. And what's interesting is that C.S. Lewis himself is the model for the patient. You know, most of the things he was writing about were his own personal battles with temptation. when you look at the story within the book, the narrative element is that it is essentially a predator-prey story. Screwtape's a predator. And the patient, the object, this unsuspecting human on Earth, is the prey. And so the story is, will the predator get its prey? And that is the story that we tell. And then what you do is you select material from the book that supports that arc. I mean, there's a lot more in it that is really powerful and fascinating, but it may not necessarily support the arc of what we're trying to tell. You know, it's a kind of a little bit of a rabbit trail. So those get edited out. You know, that's very common in almost any adaptive literature. To read the Screwtape letters in an audiobook form, it takes over 6 hours, and, you know, people don't want to stay that long. So we've developed a very creative, entertaining, and convicting 90-minute stage production of Screwtape Letters, which ultimately we will do a similar thing with the film. Theater is definitely the medium of the voice. Film is definitely the medium of the image. And so you have to take a completely different attack for film. You have to fill out the backstory. You know, for instance, Screwtape's office is in hell. You don't want the whole film to be in hell. So, you know, you will open it up, what's happening to the patient on Earth. Wormwood would be somehow personified anthropomorphically. Those are the sort of things that you'd have to, and we're at the early stages at this point. We haven't yet hired a writer. We haven't hired the director. All we've done is we have optioned the rights to make the film, which has never been optioned in this way. I mean, it had been optioned in the past, but it's never been made. So we've got 3 years to make the film.
So what do you think it's going to look like? You mentioned the stage is the medium of the voice. Film is the medium of the eyes. How do you think the film adaptation of your Screwtape Letters production may change?
Well, it's going to change, but it has to be true to the book. One of the great things about film, the amount of talent within the film industry in terms of writers and cinematographers is immense. The level of experience and commitment and dedication in the film world is incredibly high. And so we anticipate we're going to get a lot of really good ideas that we're going to have to sift through to tell the kind of story that's true to the book, true to the gospel, and yet be a film as well. It has to entertain, you know, it has to have this kind of three-act structure. And so we're looking forward to that challenge.
My guest today is Max McLean. He's the founder and artistic director of the Fellowship for Performing Arts. We're discussing their upcoming film adaptation of their production, The Screwtape Letters, and how Christians can pursue theater. And unless there's more you care to say about the film, I know you mentioned you're still kind of like in the early stages, so there maybe is just not a lot to say yet. But
no, I mean, the fact that we've got the rights is just a huge deal. You know, we're working closely with the C.S. Lewis estate. They're very involved in the process, which we're very grateful for. And so that just means there's more to tell later on.
One thing you mentioned in a little earlier is you're hoping that as you're producing this film, that it will be true to the book. Something I have heard from, you know, professors before, which maybe is just a different approach, I'd love to hear your thoughts, is there is a certain amount of creative liberty that one needs to take and not too much faithfulness to any one book, since, you know, the theater is a different experience than reading a novel. Do you think that's true? And how does that book adaptation look,
yeah,
I guess?
It is true. The question is, how do you manage the creativity? Because creativity needs to be managed. And usually you're much more creative when you have established sort of boundaries of, okay, we want to make sure this gets in. We want to make sure we do this. We want to make sure this. So work within these parameters. And that actually is really important to a creative person, because if you give them almost no license, then it's really hard to get a shape. I think artists, the good ones, are very disciplined. They need stakes in the ground of, okay, what do we need to hit? That guides their process.
How do you go about deciding what are the boundaries for adapting these works by Lewis?
Well, Lewis has a reputation. He read everything from the Greeks to the moderns. He had a steel trap mind that could remember everything he read. And he had this incredible ability to translate what he knew into magnificent prose and speech. That's why we know Lewis. He's the most influential Christian writer of the past century. And he did it all under the headship of Christ. So anything that's written that's kind of negotiating the gospel, you know, you'd have to say, why is that there?
Pivoting a little bit from that, those are very interesting thoughts. I did also kind of want to ask about entertainment, because it seems to me maybe Christians have an idea of what entertainment is, and it's kind of a negative idea that it's sort of this passive thing. How do you think Christians should pursue entertainment?
I do think that there's going to be an enormous amount of laughter in heaven. So I do think we are made for story. We're made for joy. So if you're in the quote-unquote entertainment business, you do have to entertain. In some ways, it means absorb, engage. I always think of it this way. You know, when you have a piece like Screwtape, when I read it, I was entertained by it. I was engaged with it. I did find it moments funny. It wasn't a comedy, but I did find his turn of phrase very funny, his insights really surprising. And so I said, okay, how do we capture that for theater? How do we capture that for film? You know, so I do think that if it doesn't entertain, it probably won't engage. So what I'm interested in, you know, I want people to be entertained. I want them to be engaged. And in the process of being engaged, you know, you're enjoying yourself. You're almost caught off guard when something hits you as true and convicting. So I think I want the film to and the play to entertain. I want it to convict. And if it does both of those things for some people, it's going to be a life-changing experience.
And speaking of entertainment, I'm sure you are well aware we are living in an era of artificial intelligence that seems to me to be challenging even our very idea of what it means to be human, since AI can like so closely simulate human life. Do you think there is a way that entertainment and the performing arts can contribute uniquely to human flourishing that AI can't simulate?
You know, that question remains to be seen because, you know, with these large language models, so much of our learning is imitating, right? You know, as a child, we imitate others and that's how we learn. And so they've developed these large language models to do the same thing. There is this instinct that's unique to personality where one of the things about large language models, it does tend to generalize. So the uniqueness of an individual's unique view is going to be harder. I'm not saying it's going to be impossible. I'm not an expert in this. I'm certainly aware of it and know that we actually don't know the terrain we're going into when it comes to AI. In fact, I would have told you 2 years ago, AI is the way we're seeing it now was 50 years away. It's become ubiquitous. And so we're still adjusting to it. And each day becomes more and more of a surprise at what it is. But I always think, whenever I think of AI, I think of Pharaoh's magicians. You know, they could imitate God's miracles, but then Moses' snakes would eat up their snakes. So there was always this limitation. In fact, if I was smart enough, I would write a screenplay about AI and I would call it Pharaoh's Magicians.
Oh, that's so clever. I've not thought about like comparing AI to like I guess they were simulating, weren't they? Okay.
Well, I mean, because you know, in the older days, the magicians were basically the scientists. You know, they were practicing alchemy. And so they were kind of manipulating the elements. You know, that's what scientists do. And so they were the early scientists. But it was more magic than science.
Yeah, I guess maybe it will just remain to be seen whether AI is what it does to, you know, us as it continues to develop. How do you think that, you know, adopting characters and studying the performing arts and engaging with the performing arts, how do you think the Lord has helped use that to shape your understanding of the gospel?
Yeah, well, the Lord himself is creative. I try to read the Bible daily. And when I read the stories, I'm just so aware of the nature of storytelling that's in the scripture, the nature of dramatic action that's in the scripture. I mean, even the gospel himself, you know, when you think of the gospels, if they don't believe me, they'll believe the miracles, you know. So there's a sense of there's the spoken word, but there's also the performed word in Jesus and his miracles, because they point to me. So there is a sense of the performing arts as a way of illustrating, of manifesting a real idea. But then, of course, it all goes back to what is your source material and what is your objective? Because if you have those two things right, then you're going to make a good film, given the fact that you have the resources to do it and the right people who are willing to follow that lead.
How do you think Christians can train a new generation of, you mentioned earlier, writers and producers that are driving the stories actually being told?
Well, the key issue, like you learn any craft, you got to put in your 10,000 hours. You know, you really got to do the work. And once you put in your 10,000 hours, then you have this level of expertise that you can execute. But it all depends. You know, I remember listening to a preacher that, you know, an educated PhD who doesn't know the Lord is basically an educated devil. You know, he's not, his moorings are not tied to the truth. You've got to develop your craft, and you've got to be true to your convictions that Jesus is Lord.
That's very C.S. Lewis of you to say education without gospel gives you just a clever devil.
Yeah.
Well, how does the performing arts, once we have a story in place, it's been written, how do you think the acting side shapes our humanity? Do you think it, you know, plays a role in how actors are shaped and formed?
Like I mentioned earlier, actors are musicians in the sense that they're trained instruments who need a sheet of music to play, need a script. You know, one of the things, we just auditioned for a couple of actors, and it was really interesting in the audition process in New York. There was one actor who was really incredibly talented, over the top talented. And he wasn't on our radar when we came into the rehearsal process. The casting director who we hired noticed that I was very interested in this person by the questions I was asking him after his audition. After it was over, she took me aside and commented to me, you know, he's very talented, but he has a reputation of being very hard to work with. And so she was kind of steering me away from casting him because of his reputation. So that just goes back to, you know, you got to be skilled in your craft, but you have to be a good citizen too, you know, and that's like almost in any other job. Yeah, both are important.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, actor, narrator, and playwright, Max McLean, founder and artistic director of Fellowship for Performing Arts. Go to fpatheater.com, fpatheater, TheaTRE.com. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Margaret Feinberg with a discussion on the God you need to know.
And so we start to recognize that through Scripture, we may see one taking the lead, but all are present. And the same is true in our life, that just as we can have a relationship with God, just as we can have a relationship with Christ, we can have a vibrant relationship with Holy Spirit each and every day. And Christ promised that.
That's tomorrow at the same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.